Genesis chapter 4. I'm going to read the first couple of verses and then I'll read verse 25. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 2 and verse 25. And I think that's all we'll probably read right here. The Bible said, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife. And she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground." Then verse 25, "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, who Cain slew." These three verses in Genesis are very specific to something that has happened all down through time, and that is that it seems to be of extra significance and importance for parents when they name their children. It was very important, very unique, very significant when parents name their children in the Jewish community, still to this day. And other communities, the Catholic community, and the different parts of the world, it doesn't seem as important in modern Western culture as it is everywhere else and as it has been over the centuries. But it all started with the first mama and her first three sons. It was very, very important. When I went to Israel and talked to some over there in Israel, they made it sound like they still believe today that whatever thing that your mother named you, that had something to do with the outcome of your life. If she named you something important, you were going to be important. If she named you something, skillful, you would turn out to be skillful. And even American Indian culture and lots of different cultures that way. But the Jewish culture was very plainly that way. And it started right here where Eve conceived and bare Cain, and then she said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. If you watch the pattern of Eve, she will name her child something, and then she will explain what that means, what that name means. She said, his name is Cain, and then she said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And the name Cain means masculinity. By some translations, it even means deliverer, or powerful deliverer, or strong deliverer. It means masculine. She said, I'm naming him masculine because God has given me a man. She had Seth. And Seth's name was meant appointed. She talked about having Seth and naming him Seth, and she said, for God hath appointed me another seed. Cain's name is Cain. He's a masculine man, a deliverer. Seth's name is Seth. He's appointed. He's the seed of God. And then Abel, if you look back in verse 2, something strange and unique happened here with Abel. Verse 2 said, and she again bare his brother Abel. And then it just goes on to explain things about the boys. Abel was a keeper of sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. She never said anything. This is the only child that she never said anything. Cain, she said his name is Cain. And then she explained why. He's masculine. God gave me this masculine man. She had Abel, she said his name, or Seth, she said his name is Seth. He's appointed. He's the seed of God. Then she had Abel, and she said nothing. And come to find out, the name Abel means nothing. That's what it means. Cain means masculine. Cain means deliverer. Seth means appointed. Seth means seed of God. Abel means nothing, and she said nothing. Can you imagine? Now, I know that these three boys were not all alive at the same time, but for a moment, let's say as if they were, can you imagine going through life like that? We know Abel died before Seth was born, but what about it? What about the three boys playing in the backyard some evening and Mother Eve in there cooking up supper and all of a sudden she calls out the back screen door and says, "Oh, deliverer, oh, masculine, oh, manly child of mine, it's time to come in and wash up for supper. Oh, appointed of God, oh, seed of God, come on in and eat now. And nothing, you can come along too if you want." Imagine the complex that he had. He might as well walked up and said to one of his little buddies at school, "This is my big brother Superman, and here's my little brother Wonder Boy, and me, I'm nothing. I'm nothing." His name was nothing. Can you imagine? Cain got straight A's, and Seth got A's and B's, and Abel got incompletes. For Christmas, they all got bicycles, and Cain put racing stripes on his new bike, and Seth lowered the seat on his new bike, and raised the handlebars on his new bike, and Abel left his bike out by the road, and it got stolen. He was basically prophesied over by his mother that he would be nothing. Can you imagine growing up like this? Cain is a promising member of FFI, you know, Future Farmers of Israel. And Seth is quite the young entrepreneur and Abel is still trying to get his GED. Can you imagine? Some of you listening to me right now, you can imagine. You do know what it's like. You do remember what it's like being in the shadow of people that you felt like were so much better than you. And every time they had an accomplishment, it just seemed to push you down that much farther. How many listening to me at some point in your life, someone looked at you and said, "You ain't nothing." Somebody gave up on you. Somebody wouldn't give you the time of day. You were overlooked. You were left out. You were pushed aside. Why? Because you're nothing. He's not as smart as so-and-so. She's not as pretty as this one. You'll never amount to anything. You're good for nothing. As a matter of fact, you are nothing. As a matter of fact, his name was nothing. But wait. There's one more set of verses that I want to read before I finish this message. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. Said, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Verse 4 said, "By faith Abel." Wait a minute. I'm preaching here on faith changes everything. Faith changes everything. We got a man named Nothing. He was raised with two brothers, one called a masculine, manly man, one called appointed seed of God. His name is Nothing. They had great accomplishments. They did great things. He was never known. He was never recognized in their shadow. He was always a little less, a little worse. He never quite measured up. He wasn't the good-looking one. He wasn't the mechanically inclined one. If you're a lady and you put yourself in this place, you weren't the pretty one. You weren't the one that can cook. You weren't the one that could sew. You weren't the one that got the good boyfriend. Here we find this one called Nothing. The Bible had very little, hardly anything to say about him. His mother wouldn't say anything about him. His mama said his name is Nothing. He's got brothers that are manly and masculine. He's got brothers that are appointed of God. He is Nothing. And all of a sudden, after hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years of never hearing anything else about this boy named Nothing, all of a sudden God said something about him clear down in the New Testament. And God said, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." What happened right here? I'll tell you what happened. The boy that everybody said was nothing, God said was something. Say it took thousands of years for it to all come out. Sometimes it takes a long time for it to all come out the way it really is. But according to these verses, Nothing really became something. something. You see, it does not matter what anybody says about you. It does not really matter what you've been called. Whatever you have been labeled is not going to determine the outcome. God will have the final say. When the Holy Ghost inspires a writer, what is written is recorded permanently, and nothing was faithful. He might not have been talented. He might not have been the best singer. He might not have been the best guitar player. He might not have been a preacher. He might not know how to raise cattle right. But he was something that God put a good seal and a mark on. He was faithful. The one called nothing. The one not worth mentioning. Oh, come on right here. He's described as being faithful. It says he offered unto God. It says his sacrifice was more excellent. It says that he obtained a witness of being righteous. It said that God testified of his gift. And that this man called nothing, when not even his own mama had anything to say at his birth, he still speaks volumes from the grave. I'm telling you, there are people out there that the world has cast aside and kicked aside and put away and decided that they'll never be good enough for anything. But I'm telling you, if that person will be faithful to God, they will go down in history as having a greater testimony and a greater impact on this world than anybody that did anything great as far as the world is concerned. You can make a difference. You may not be smart, you may not be attractive, you may not be wealthy, you may not be good at different things, you may not be a great singer, a great musician, a great preacher, a great teacher, a great mechanic, a great plumber, a great pie maker, a great cake baker. You may not be anything, but if you can be faithful to God, if you will get yourself up and take yourself to the house of God, if you will be in the church services, if you will pray when God asks you to pray, read your Bible and study your word, pay your tithe, faith. I don't have much money. He didn't say you had to have much. He just said he wanted 10% of whatever it was so that he could bless you and his word would be accurate. I'm telling you, you can be faithful to a minister. You can be faithful to a soup kitchen. You can be faithful to a nursing home. You can be faithful to calling on people that are shut in and need help. You can be effective enough that God can look down at you right in the middle of everybody else saying you're no good, you don't count, you won't matter, and God can say, wait a minute, by faith that one has my approval. Hallelujah. You don't understand what I've been through, Brother Todd. I'm burdened down. I have all kinds of accusations heaped on me. I've been called things. I've been done wrong. I don't know what possibly could get me out of this circumstance. Faith can. Faith in God, my friend. By faith, Abel went from nothing to something. By faith, Abel went from nobody to somebody. The Bible goes on, by faith Enoch was translated. How? By pleasing God. How do you please God? The Bible said without faith it is impossible to please God. By faith Noah, the one that was called crazy, they said he was an idiot. They said Noah's lost his marbles. But by faith he spared the human race. By faith Abraham, by faith Sarah, by faith Isaac, by faith Jacob, by faith Joseph and Moses and Rahab. Oh, come on, Rahab, Brother Todd. Yes, by faith a harlot went down in history as being one that God put his mark upon. By faith Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel. By faith some of you listening to me right now, you have overcome drug addictions and hatreds and alcohol abuse and problem with lust and problem with lying. You've got over your hurt feelings. You've got over your broken situation. You've come up out of your pity party. How did you do it? You did it by faith. We all, listen to me right here, we all want to engage people according to what society perceives them to be capable of. We all want to engage people according to what society perceives them to be capable of. You know you've done it, I've done it, we've all done it. We see somebody come walking by and we say, well, they can't be much of nothing. They call somebody up to sing and you say, they don't look like a singer. They call somebody shows up and they say, he's the guy preaching tonight, and you say, he sure don't look like no preacher. We all want to engage people according to what society perceives them to be capable of. According to history, that is ridiculous. Think about it. Einstein was called retarded by his school teachers. Einstein the Wright brothers were referred to in a national newspaper as brainless dreamers. Yet they invented the airplane. Think about it. Those that built the Titanic were professionals and considered geniuses. But those who built the Ark were amateurs and considered imbeciles. One they said would never sink, but it did. One they said would never float. Woo! But it did. Glory. What people think don't matter. Regardless of what they said or didn't say, by faith you can be a saint. Regardless of what they told you, what the outcome has been in the past, by faith you can be a victorious Christian, an overcomer, a child of God, a hero of faith. I'm going to tell you a story about a woman that I personally know. Her name is Linda. Linda was living somewhere down in Texas, and she was an alcoholic real bad. She ran around with all different men every weekend and lived in a nasty old house with a couple of kids. Didn't hardly take care of her kids. And there was a Hispanic young preacher from Mexico and his little wife, and they'd come up to United States, and they were doing ministry, and they were going around knocking on doors on Saturday afternoons and asking people and inviting people to let them pick up their children and take their children to Sunday school the following morning. And this little Hispanic preacher man, he knocks on Linda's door and Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon, Linda opens the door and he said that we're going around finding out. We saw you had toys and stuff in your yard and figured you have children, and we want to know if we could take your children to Sunday school in the morning. Linda told that young preacher and his wife, she said, you can take my children to church anytime you want. You can take my children anywhere you want to, anytime you want to. I don't care how long you have them or when you bring them back or if you don't bring them back, on one condition. Now right there, most of us holiness preachers would have bulled up and puffed up and got mad and given her what for and tore up one side and down the other and blasted her with our gospel guns for having a bad attitude, and we'd have went back to the church on Sunday morning with no children, no lost souls, nobody to preach to, but boy, we would have bragged about how we tore that lady up in the trailer park yesterday. Praise God. But this young preacher man didn't do that. She said, I'll let you take my children anywhere you want to on one condition. He said, yes, ma'am, what is it? She said, don't you ever, ever talk to me about God. He said something that I dare say most of us couldn't, let alone wouldn't, have said. You may think him weak for saying it, but wait till you hear the outcome and you decide which was the will of God. She said, don't you ever talk to me about God. And he said, yes, ma'am. The next morning was the first of many, 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 many Sunday mornings that they picked up children in that neighborhood, and they always picked up Linda's children. Sometimes they'd go in and she'd be passed out drunk in the living room or in the bedroom. The kids would be laying just on the floor, not even dressed, and they'd wake the kids up and get some clothes and dress them and just have to do a lot to, and more than a lot would do, but just do a lot to get them to go to church. But they'd always get them and they'd always bring them to church. The children were being raised in the house of God on Sunday mornings, learning about Jesus. No doubt they went home and told Mom about him sometimes, and she couldn't be quite as harsh, I guess, to the children as she could have been to the preacher and his wife. One day, Linda's, I believe it was her kidneys, began to fail. And no doubt from so much drinking, and she had to go to the hospital, and she didn't have anything to do with her children, so she took her children to the hospital with her. And at the hospital, they told her if she didn't find somebody to come take care of those children, that they would call the state and the state was going to come take her children away. She thought, didn't know who to call. Finally, she thought, I could call that preacher boy. She called him up. She said, I'm in the hospital. They're going to do surgery. I'm going to be up here for a couple of days. And I've called everybody. My family won't have nothing to do with me. None of my boyfriends want to take care of my kids or anything. And I just didn't know who else to call. Is there any way you could come watch my children for me for a little while? He said, we'd be glad to. And he hustled right on up there. He took the kids and shouldn't have been in the hospital for several days. Every day they brought the children to the hospital. They brought flowers for mommy and they brought little pictures they'd colored for mommy and all these different things. And they just kept taking care of the children, totally open-ended situation. Finally, one Sunday morning, Linda had got out of the hospital. And Linda went home and changed clothes and went to church on Sunday morning, sat up there in the Sunday school class with her two little children. Linda felt the love of God. Linda understood things she never understood. She got delivered from alcohol. She got saved. She began to ride the bus with the children. Every Sunday morning, Linda and her children would ride the bus to the Sunday school. She went over and over and over and over for months and months and months. Finally, one day, the preacher man and his wife come by and knocked on the door, and she said, you know, you don't have to knock on my door. We'll always be ready tomorrow for Sunday school. And he said, Linda, I'm going to have to tell you something. He said, my wife and I are going back to Mexico and there isn't going to be anybody to drive the bus anymore. That broke Linda's heart. Linda said, is there any way that I could drive the bus? And they said, well, yes. And I want you to know something. For several years, the way I understand it, Linda drove that Sunday school bus, took her kids and all the other neighbors' kids back and forth to Sunday school. It was a few years ago that I met Linda, and Linda had been called to come to Tulsa to speak at a women's Christian convention and to tell her story. And at the end of Linda's speech at the Christian women's convention in downtown Tulsa, she leaned over the little podium there and she begged and pleaded with these women Christian workers. She said, if you ever go and knock on a door and they slam the door in your face, if you ever go and you ask for children, they just curse at you and run you off. If you ever go and you know they're inside and you keep ringing the bell and they never will answer and you just hear them in there laughing and carrying on, she said, please, please, please go back. Go back again and again and again. She said, that was me. But by faith, this little Spanish boy and his wife stepped out and they did something, and I don't know what their past was and I don't know what their background was, but it made a difference in many, many, many lives. And by her own admission, Linda says she is nothing. I've heard her say it with her own lips several times to my face. She said, I am nothing. But I want you to know that I note her as being a woman of great faith. She went from nothing to something. She went from nothing to notoriety. She went from being useless to being useful, to being helpless to being helpful. And she did it all simply by believing Christ Jesus. I feel so strong that somebody's listening. And you've been kicked around and beat around. I'm not making excuses for you. Some of it's probably your fault, but you're in a place now where you just believe you're just helpless and hopeless. Everybody that knows you, would say and would admit that you're just probably not going to accomplish much. You just need to try to survive, just kind of keep getting by as best you can. But I'm here to tell you something. Faith changes everything. It turns the meanest people to nice people. It turns the most selfish people into the most selfless people. It turns sinners into saints. It turns lazy people into active people. Oh, I wish somebody would get a hold of these words tonight. It will change everything. There's nothing in your life, in your mind, in your heart, in your home, in your world, in your relationships, that when faith gets down in there, it will not touch it. Regardless of what's been said about you, regardless of the outcome of all of your endeavors, regardless of your failures, regardless how you're looked upon, faith changes everything. Friend, man, woman, boy, girl, get a hold of faith for yourself. Faith in God changes things. changes outcomes, changes want-tos, changes destinies, changes eternities.